Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Really cool. And I thought rather candid conversation with Peyton Manning.
That was fun. That was fun.
And a big thanks to you for setting it up.
I didn't do anything, to be honest with you. I did nothing. He asked, you know, kind of just like he knows. I tell him usually, hey, look, I mean, you know, I'll squeeze you in. You know, so I'll fit you in at some point. But, you know, I'm not going to sit there and bother the guy all the time. Every right. now and then I bring it up and, you know, and especially if we're around the guys, I'll make fun of them. I'm like, yeah, you know, we're good friends, but the guy never comes on my radio show. You know, just kind of prodding it.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And so, you know, he does come on.
About once a year.
Once or twice a year he comes. Yeah. I would say twice a year.
Yeah, I was going to say that makes
and
sense.
And during training camp, he usually does come on at some point. But he brought it up. He had a little time frame and he said, hey, I'll jump on today. And I said, okay, perfect. I'll squeeze you in.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So, you know, that was from him. I didn't ask him.
It's really cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
Really cool. A couple.
Obviously a busy time for him. You know?
No question.
Like, I think that just.
Awesome. Who doesn't want a piece of Peyton Manning right now?
Yeah.
And for him to bring it up and volunteer, say, hey, you want me on? Of course.
Well, certainly, Zach.
I love when he says my name.
It's good. He's good. Like, you know, I mean, like when he comes on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
He does. He's very good at that. Makes you feel special. Just that little thing. But he knows.
Zach.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love it. A couple cool different nuggets from that conversation. Me asking him, when did you at the line of scrimmage, was that something you were doing on the way up? And for him to be able to pinpoint a moment in time,
yeah,
getting down 14-0
against
the Jets, and a light bulb going off, saying, "Wait a second, why are we waiting?"
Right,
really cool story.
Yeah, and then just being able to take that, because a lot of fans say that. Right, we have said that here over the last few years. Like, why during 2-minute drill when we see Drew Lock out there that he's just going up and down the field, and it's like, man, it looks great, you know? And obviously, it's not always like that. And sometimes it can be tough if you go 3 and out and you're doing up-tempo, 3
right,
and out, 3
right,
and out, 3 and out.
Right.
That's not, you know, it's not what you want. But if it's not, it doesn't have to be up-tempo. It doesn't have to be 2-minute. But it's just, hey, let's get to the line of scrimmage and do things from the line of scrimmage, and then I can orchestrate it from there. But it is. That was a great question, and you kind of see when it started. And it did. It was one of those things where, you know, we talk a lot about continuity, consistency. Well, you know, with the coaching staff, and that's what he was able to do there, because they had the same offensive coordinator, the same quarterback coach, and you had that continuity. So guess what you do? You build from 1 year to the next year. You don't just drop in and all of a sudden, you know, here's, you know, everything that you can do.
Right.
It just doesn't
right.
work that way. You build from 1 year to the next year, and that's what he was able to do in Indy. But where it started and how it started, you know, that's just, you know, guys that like Peyton that are always thinking, what can I do to get better? What can we do to get better as a team? What can I do to improve? Will this work? Will that work? Those types of things. And look what it ended up becoming.
Just awesome. Just flat out awesome. The other nugget that I thought was really cool is, you know, one, him talking about him coming to Denver and staying in your house. And that's just, it's such a great story. But I think I heard for the first time, and I don't want to be too generalizing with this or broad strokes, like, you're the reason that he stayed in Denver, but it sounded like he, you know, it means something when you know someone in a city and that you can start with, you already have a built-in relationship. It sounded like there was a conversation, you know, after the fact of like, hey, are you going to live in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, that always helps, being, especially when you're a player, because who do you know? You know players. What happens after your career? Players leave. They go back home. They usually move. And so then you're just kind of stuck here, and you don't know a whole lot of people. So, you know, that's a big reason, one of the reasons why I stayed. I made a lot of friends outside of football. And obviously, you know, so when you have that connection, it really helps. And, you know, Peyton doesn't have a hard time, you know, meeting people and you know, developing friendships.
Of course.
So he's done a good job of that. But it always helps when you got somebody that you've, you know, had a relationship
especially
with
it goes
elsewhere.
Way back. Right. I mean, like, he's from Louisiana, you're from Louisiana. He talks about,
started in college, right.
And for him to talk about that, like, the Manning passing camp, what did he say now, 40 starting quarterbacks at some point in time in the NFL have gone through he said
no, 40 this year. Oh, I didn't hear that. So starting quarterbacks.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
That have had one point in time because there's just 32 teams, right? So,
I was talking about, I thought he said 40 counselors this year. That's what he said. That's what I took it as. 40 counselors year.
Gotcha. That,
like, back then we had four college counselors. They got 40 college counselors, quarterbacks this year.
Okay. I took it as from our past campers, they've turned into 40 starting quarterbacks. Regardless.
Take the L, and you were trying to make fun of me, and you can just take that L, and you know, I'll be humble about it, but you were trying to rub my, you were trying to get my face and rub it in the mud right there, and it turns out that you were wrong.
It sounded like you were saying that 40.
Zach.
Get your act together. Stop jacking around.
Oh, my God.
Where you at, Jerry? Can we get Jerry? Get your act together.
Yeah.
We need to get on your game.
Get your damn act together.
Jerry. Thank you. Okay.
But for him to really say cool. At the time, it was what? You, Peyton, Jake DeLome, and one other guy, and that was it.
Yeah, really cool to see where that's gone. But that's, you know, when we first met, you know, a long, long time ago. We were both in college, and then we got to, you know, obviously be teammates for a while in the NFL, and just really cool. He's obviously a special person, and he's just very thoughtful. Does a lot of great things,
totally
in communities all across the country. So he's, you know, great football player. So it's going to be a cool weekend, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But you know, the other thing that I really took from what he was saying, there was a bunch of things there, obviously, but for me, there was kind of that one thing that stood out that we really haven't touched on. But I thought it just resonates, especially, you know, right here with the Broncos and the Broncos situation.
And we'll get to that coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Zach, I said during the break, there was something that really resonated with me in the Broncos situation when you're talking about, when we're talking with Peyton, looking at the quarterback competition, and I had never thought about it. But I think, you know, you have to be careful if you're one of these guys, and because you only get limited reps, right? So what do? You press a little bit because you want those reps to be perfect. And you want those reps to be, you know, great plays, explosive plays. And you watch the guy in front of you make a couple plays. Well, what are you going to try to do? You going to throw checkdowns? You going to go where it's supposed to go? And sometimes you might try to force the issue a little bit too much in those situations rather than, you know, taking what the defense is giving you. And sometimes you just have to be patient with the situation and not try to do too much. And I think that's a hard thing to do in a quarterback competition.
Totally, because you want to win it.
Yes.
Like, you don't want the other guy to lose it.
You can't win it throwing 3 or 4 yard passes, right? I mean, that's the mindset.
Right. It really interesting. He said,
but it's a great point.
He said, don't feel like you have to do something special on the limited reps you had. He added, make good decisions, even if it's a check down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know,
but you could see how that could be a detriment.
Totally.
To one of those guys.
And I thought it was a detriment here today. In the last series of practice, it was a 2 minute move the ball.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, Drew Locke was shaping up a good drive. There was a 20-yard completion to Cortland Sutton, little dump off, but, you know, don't go broke taking a profit type deal. And he had worked himself into the red zone and threw an interception to Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
Okay. Teddy Bridgewater's turn. Your competition just turned it over in the red zone and fulfilled the profile that a lot of Broncos country has of Drew Lock. Like, yep, he got you down there, and then, oh, that back-breaking turnover. So if you're Teddy, it's like, you're this close from winning the day. And then
just don't screw it up.
Just don't screw
it
up.
Even if you don't score a touchdown on the two-minute drive. Even if you don't score, if you don't turn it over, you know, that's a big positive for you and a big negative for your opponent.
That's right. And there was a 20-yard gain, and I forget who the receiver was. I'm sure Tyler will fill us in later. He was charting it all.
I was talking to Peyton Manning.
And doing a good job at it.
I wasn't really focused on what was going on.
Yeah, you were making weekend plans, and I don't blame you. I'd be over there, too. I was almost waiting for you to just give me, like, the head bob. Like, come here. Come talk to our buddy.
Come join the cool crowd. Join the cool guys.
But there was a 20-yard completion. There was a check down. You're moving the ball. I'm just going to guesstimate and say that Bridgewater was on the, I don't know, 25-yard line.
Yeah, right around there, 20, 25.
And he did what you just can't do, turnover.
Yeah.
It was back-to-back drills, the same setup. Lock moves the ball, gets in the red zone, turnover. Teddy moves the ball, 20-yard gainer, approaching the red zone, turnover. And then that's how practice ended. But if you're Teddy, like you said, you just don't force the issue and you leave that drill with a McManus kick, you win the day.
Yeah. And, you know, I was with Peyton right there. We were right there. We were watching that. And his comment to me on that play was, you know, it was kind of a – it was a fade pattern to number 86.
He has a big tight end there.
Big receiver.
Or excuse me, big receiver. Yeah. He almost looks like a tight end.
86. I mean, he was the one that almost had the deep ball.
Is it Seth Williams?
No, the one that almost had the deep one. Remember, and he hit the ground and it came out. It would have been a great
yes,
catch.
Yes.
What's his name? Anyhow, it doesn't really matter. But he's a young wide receiver. And Teddy kind of threw a floater that could have been
Brandon Mack.
Yes. He could have had himself a great day, and he had himself, I think, a bad day, Brandon Mack. He had opportunities.
He did.
He had given him opportunities.
He did, yeah.
But he just couldn't finish plays off. But it was to Brandon Mack, and Teddy threw kind of a tweener, back shoulder, but the DB, the issue, the DB was looking at the quarterback. You never try to throw a back shoulder when the defensive back is looking at the quarterback. And that's kind of what Teddy did there. It was an awful pass. But you're throwing to, you know, not throwing to Jerry Jeudy. You're not throwing to Cortland Sutton. You're throwing to Brandon Mack, which I have a little bit of an issue with. Maybe they're getting this guy reps because he's been doing well. So this is the issue with quarterback competition. And Drew, same thing with Drew. He's throwing to some of these guys also, right? It's like, okay, who is this? I mean, you're trying to get on the same page with this guy, right? But you're not going to be throwing to that guy in the games if you win the competition. It's going to be Jeudy, Sutton, you know, Hamler. Those are your guys. But now in practice, you're trying to wing it with guys that you haven't, you know, worked a lot with and that aren't NFL wide receivers. A lot of them aren't going to be NFL wide receivers. They're not going to make this football team. And then, you know, you throw an interception. How much is on the wide receiver and the quarterback not really being on the same page? How much is on the receiver? How much is on Drew or Teddy? You know, I'm not just saying Teddy. I'm not making an excuse for Teddy because Teddy threw an awful throw.
Right.
You can't make that throw.
Right.
But I'm saying in general, in this quarterback competition, that's a big problem. That's a big part of the problem. And that's why these competitions aren't ideal. Now, next thing you know, you're looking up and you know, one of our starters is throwing to guys that won't be around.
Right.
And how do you grade that if you're a coach? Obviously, you know, you look at the wide receiver, hey, he should have done this, he should have done that. But sometimes you just have chemistry with a guy. It's not exactly how it's coached up, but through the work that you've done, you make subtle adjustments and they haven't been able to do those things because there's no rapport with one another. It's just kind of like everything is new, and new is not good in the NFL. You know, you want to have that foundation that you have worked on throughout the years or throughout, you know, off season, and these guys don't have it to the quarterback's defense here. That's what I'm doing. Both of these guys. That's part of the issue here.
For context is king.
Yeah.
Troy Rank just texted me, and he said the drill, and I'm going to be honest, during this period,
right?
I was watching the play. I'm not looking at the scoreboard necessarily.
Was it fourth quarter?
So it was, the drill was down 7, 2:10 to go. So they had to go to the end zone.
Okay.
And so that's part of the context that matters.
That's good to know. Yep,
I was going between looking at the play, and I got to be honest, I couldn't stop looking over at Peyton. I said to Tyler, I said, I don't get starstruck around these guys all the time. I can't stop looking over at Peyton.
Certainly, Zach.
Oh, jeez. It's getting hot in here.
I should have gave you the call up. But you know, we're talking weekend plans, and,
dude,
you know, you would have been in the background a little bit.
You are doing your thing. So that context matters, but still, you can't go back. Right. Like you said, back shoulder throw, DB's looking at it, and it just was a really easy interception.
Oh, my gosh, right. I mean, it was right to the guy, and a lob, just right to the DB, just kind of like, oh, it's almost like a bad...
Kendall Hinton at the end of the second quarter.
Mm.
Just a punt.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's bad memory. I got the context. It wasn't like there was 2 seconds left, though.
Nope.
You know, where you had to just lob it up there. It was that or nothing. And regardless, it was an awful throw from Teddy. I don't care who the receiver was. I don't care the situation. It was an awful throw from Teddy there. This is one of the big issues with a quarterback competition for both of these guys. You know, we're looking up there, and I'm asking myself, Zach, I mean, why the heck is Rippon taking reps and I'm seeing, you know, starting receivers in there?
We need to talk about that, because there was a head scratching moment today in
practice.
There's
a bunch of head scratching moments in practice.
We'll hit the pause button on that really quick, because joining us right now, longtime broadcaster Bob Iback, with a very cool way our listeners can celebrate the Hall of Fame induction this weekend while helping the Peyton Manning Children's Hospital. What do you got here, Bob?
Well, that's right, guys. Good to be with you today. And, you know, we're going to salute Peyton Manning and help out his children's hospital and raise a lot of good money for the kids. They do a lot of great pediatric work around the country. And what we're talking about is a framed and double-matted 15-by-17-inch photo collage commemorating Peyton Manning's Hall of Fame induction coming up this Sunday. And there's several actions of Peyton in a Broncos uniform inside this collage. It's really, really nice. Only making 2,021 of these. And once they're gone, for $99 each, they will be gone. They're all individually numbered. A couple ways you can get this and help out the Peyton Manning Children's Hospital. 1-800-345-2868. Or go right to the website at nicosports.com. NICOSports.com. Again, that phone number, 1-800-345-2868. But jump on this, because we're only going to make 2,021 of these, and once they're gone, they are gone. But it goes for just a great cause to help out Peyton Manning's Children's Hospital. We've raised over $3 million now for children's charities just in the last 4 or 5 years. A big shout out to your great listeners out there for helping us out in the past.
Thanks, Bob. Very cool stuff there. All right, there was a head-scratching moment out there at practice that is just a little bit bizarre. Also, Stokely's star of the day, who stuck out in practice number 7. We'll get to that coming out of the gate coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Who was that shining star out at training camp practice number 7? Stokely and I were out there.
Fun day today. You know.
It was a fun day, man.
We saw a lot of great listeners.
You know what?
We got a few shout-outs we got to give. And one just RamosLaw.com texted in here. And I will find that in a second. But Kirby, big red beard guy, Kirby.
Oh, yeah, with his two kids there.
Yeah, he makes Tyler's beard look like child's play.
Yeah.
Right? But he said he wanted to give thanks to us for not being annoyed by seeing some fans today.
Heck no.
And, you know, his boys, he told his boys the highlight of the day was seeing us.
Cool.
And I saw him on the way out. I rolled down the window, gave him a shout out, and he said, he said he appreciated that a lot. So he's a veteran that served our country,
and no
so
doubt.
We certainly appreciate Kirby,
yeah,
and bringing his kids over. That was cool.
Really cool. I also want to give a shout-out. These have backed up for a couple days. I forgot on Monday and Tuesday, but Mary on Monday listens to our show every day, had a Training Camp 50-50 shirt on. Tyler, who I ran into, is either Monday or Tuesday, told him I'd give him a shout-out at the top of the hill there. And Alex and Ted yesterday together as a pair, they said they love listening to our show. Rarely do they miss.
Who's that?
It was Alex and Ted.
Gotcha.
Said rarely do they miss a show of ours. So
Jennifer, really I was cool. walking out yesterday. She works back there doing some of the concessions,
yeah,
the drinks, and
yeah,
also different. So have to give her a shout out too, because I gave her coworker a shout out last week, and she's like, "What about me?"
Was that in the back left as we were leaving?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Not today, but that was the other day.
Okay.
So shout out to them. Great listeners, and we appreciate it. So
no question.
Star of the day.
Star of the day.
You ready?
Yes.
Star of the day. This guy's never been a winner. Never won this award. And I got to give it to myself. Brandon Stokely. Star of the day is my star of the day. No one's more deserving than me.
Wow.
I mean, seriously. I delivered Peyton Manning to everybody. So
unbelievable.
Look, I got my pictures up on the Broncos Twitter and stuff like that. I mean, who else can it be? It's me.
Stokely! Wow!
I'm the star of the day. That's me, Zach.
And you want to know what?
And I bought you coffee and delivered it to you and picked up your lunch. I mean,
dude.
I mean, can you argue that?
You're a five-tool co-host.
Yes. Feels good. Once in a blue moon, I earn my keep around here, and I deliver, and I felt like I delivered today. And
you
so I should
it,
be
man.
The star of the day.
I'm
kind
not,
of a big deal.
I'm not yes. even going to disagree with you. I'm not even going to disagree with you. And I got to tell you, I feel bad. I feel bad on something that I did earlier today.
Oh, what'd you do? What'd you make fun of me? What'd you?
You know, when Peyton
put something.
When Peyton came to practice, you know, you like jumped up like, whoa, whoa. You know, he just tried to call me.
Yeah, because I was wondering, he had called, and obviously I'm not answering at practice or whatever, and I was like, well, that's what he wanted. He was like, yeah, I'm coming to practice.
Right, and that makes total sense. But someone said, I think it was Tyler or Evan, said, oh, he popped right up.
Yeah.
He popped right up. And so I wanted to take a picture of you guys talking. I wasn't sure the Broncos were going to do that. So,
right. And did you make fun of me?
I wanted to, you know, acknowledge, like, look at these two bros. Like, look at these two guys hanging, right? Just two football guys talking. But I said, we got to go. I tweeted this and with the picture. You can go find it on Twitter. Stokely's at bstokely14. I am at Byzline. I said, we got a goat sighting at Broncos camp. Stoke jumped right up like a dog whose owner just came home.
Wow. Wow.
And I showed Tyler. I said, should I do this or is this too late?
Of course. What do you think Tyler's going to say? I mean, I promise you, Tyler said, yes, absolutely do it. Right?
Oh, my God.
And you did it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey,
he goes, ask for forgiveness.
It's really funny. That's really funny. That's really good. I did perk up. I can't lie. It's always fun to see Peyton.
Heck yeah.
And that's funny. That's good. That's good. But I'm just kidding. I'm not giving it to myself. That was
a
joke.
MVP.
That was a joke. My star of the day, Zach, today goes to Courtland Sutton.
That's a good one.
Goes to Courtland Sutton, man. We talked a lot about him yesterday.
We did.
And I watched him closely yesterday, and I was a little bit concerned and with what I saw because of the knee and the brace. And it just didn't look like he was – he's not back, but it looked like he had a long ways to go still. And so I just became concerned that how long will this take. And I thought today he just went out, man, he made some big plays and intermediate short stuff, deep stuff on the sideline. He was way more active today and
for
involved
sure.
today.
Yep.
And that was great to see. It still doesn't, you know, alleviate all my concerns there, because I don't think, you know, seeing what I saw yesterday, that's just going away. But hopefully, you know, this kind of propels him to continue to make progress. And first week of the season, it's like, oh. He's back. He's back. Hopefully that will be the case. But he had a really, really good day today, and that was great to see. Courtland Sutton.
He had a one-handed grab.
Like behind him, right?
It was a bad ball from Bridgewater, period, because
yeah.
there was no one in front of Sutton. So if he threw it, like, on a game day in front of Sutton in stride, so he's turning that thing upfield for a monster gamer, a gainer, and some yards after the catch. Bridgewater threw it 4 feet behind him. So he's going upfield to the right, has to twist his body around, extend his right hand out there, and just gobbled the football. If you were not out at practice today, I believe the Broncos have tweeted the video on their social media accounts, certainly on Twitter, and I saw Pro Football Focus took that video and repurposed it for their own good, too. So that video is available if you want to see that one-handed grab. It was certainly a highlight. He still doesn't look, you know, everything we said yesterday holds true.
Right.
But Courtland's so talented and plays with his body so much that he can still find ways to win despite not being 100%.
Yeah, and he did that yesterday.
He
was still catching balls.
Yep.
But that's kind of besides the point, right? I mean, it's he's going to be able to do that. I mean, this guy's a pro. He's been very successful. So even at not at 100%, he can still get open in the league, especially running against, you know, sometimes backups. He can still do that. But that doesn't, you know, do away with the fact that he's just not completely healthy. And you can see that out there. And you can watch. Courtland was mic'd up yesterday. Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
He was mic'd up yesterday. And you can go to DenverBroncos, you know, .com or on their Twitter page. And you can watch some of the routes and, you know, take a look for yourself. Now, they didn't show everything. You know, they're editing stuff and all that. But you can watch them from yesterday and see some of the things that we saw.
Okay, cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll give a quick shout out here because, you know, James Palmer, when it's training camp time, he's like all around the country. He just texted me now, great to be back in town and hear you boys.
There you go. Best hair in the business.
Representing.
Man, that's one of the things. I always love taking over his little locker in the media thing, you know, and making it my own. And I don't get to do that anymore. But it's and we don't get to see James like we used to.
No.
You know, he used to be here pretty much every day.
Yep.
And now he's all over the country just doing his thing. Does a great job. So, appreciate that from James Palmer.
Yeah, good friend of the show. Maybe we can link up with him at some point here in the next couple of days.
Yes.
You played 15 years in the league.
That's right. How many did you play?
Oh, I didn't play any, Stoke. Right. But, you know, it's not like I didn't do, like, anything, right?
You did
all
something.
Conference you high school player, got
just
my
ask
college.
Jimmer for that.
That's right.
Just
that's right.
Jimmer.
You want me to unfold that article that I got origamied in my wallet right
your
now?
Wallet? Hey, he will. Just ask.
I did get a scholarship to play basketball. It wasn't great.
You did run cross country too.
Yeah, I'm
1-0.
Right. So I shouldn't get a star of the day.
No,
but I deserve
something.
A twinkle.
Yeah, you do.
All right. DeMorne Pearson L. Say that name one more time.
One more time for me.
DeMorne Pearson L.
Is there like a...
There's a hyphen.
Quotation mark up there, so a hyphen? A hyphen.
You don't typically see a quotation, quotes in someone's name.
What do you call that little one little thing? Is there one of those little things at the top?
A little apostrophe, is that?
Yeah, the apostrophe up top.
He's got one of those after the D and the E, and he's got the hyphen after the Pearson and the L. Here's what I know about this guy.
Uh-huh.
Went to Nebraska. He's a young man. It's his first season. He's trying to make this roster.
Love it.
And when we talk about fringe guys that are trying to make a roster, you have to make plays that turn heads and make me look you up in the roster. All right? If you don't come down with it for one reason or another, I don't have to remember your name. But DeMorne Pearson L. made me remember his name today because on the right side of the field in the first half of practice, he's a little guy. He's listed at just 5'9", which means he's probably 5'8". He went all the way upstairs and pulled down a football. I don't know much about this guy. He's a rookie out of Nebraska. DeMorne Pearson L. made a play today, and that's the purpose of the twinkle. It's like, you didn't, maybe not the star of the day,
right.
But you made a twinkle, here you are getting your name said.
There you go. That's what you have to do if you're guys like that. Just what you said. You got to make those types of plays for coaches to say, okay. And then they start paying a little bit more attention. You just can't do the norm.
Right.
When you're, you know, the 80th man on the roster. You got to go above and beyond. I like that. Good job.
All right. We still have not
Where's
given out.
Where's the L? Is it a capital L or a lowercase L?
It's E-L. So it's
E-L. Okay.
L.
That's a cool name.
All right. We still have not declared a winner.
No, we haven't.
Today at the quarterback spot. I want to hear from you, and we're also going to hear from Troy Rank. Maybe he'll have to break a tie between us. We'll see about that. It's coming up next.
It's training camp 50-50. 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Troy Rank, good friend of this show for years now, joins us. Courtesy of Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. Troy, your biggest takeaway from day 7 of training camp was what?
Quarterbacks ending, they left red face in the red zone. It could have been a very, you know, nice day for them after yesterday. So my two takeaways were an opportunity lost by the quarterbacks to finish practice strong, and that the energy was better. It was still a workmanlike practice, but yesterday had all the intensity of a family picnic softball game. So to see at least some emotion was nice. But my takeaways were that I wanted to see the quarterbacks walk away with a good taste in their mouth. And unfortunately, I just don't like how it's playing out where they're splitting reps. I think you need to decide. Drew, you get all the ones this day. Teddy, you get the ones this day. This 50-50 thing is just, for me, going to stunt the growth of whoever wins the job, frankly.
Yeah, it's not ideal. You know, that's why these competitions usually don't work out. There's a lot of negatives involved here. And it's good to hear, Troy, that you kind of feel the same way that Zach and I do about yesterday's practice. I mean, we were getting some pushback about you guys are blowing this out of proportion and, you know, this and that. But you also saw that yesterday when you looked at the intensity first day of pads and just nothing being there. That's what you saw yesterday also?
Yeah, I mean, you just expect a little bit of electricity. You know, I said on my podcast last night, I mean, you go in expecting, you know, heavy metal Slash, and I get Kenny G on the saxophone. Like, what the heck's going on here? Like, is this a walkthrough, or is this the first day in pads? And part of it is, you know, Vic is a college professor. He's brilliant. But that's his, he's like, to me, I was telling my wife today, he's like, he gives the college lecture, and all the information's great, but the presentation's kind of dry. I mean, you know, you need the stuff for class, and you take the notes, but sometimes I think presentation matters, and then they don't have natural leaders on this team that are really outspoken. Kareem Jackson is kind of that. I think at some point you'll see some of that from Garrett Bowles, Dalton Risner as the season goes on. Cortland Sutton can be that guy, but he's trying to get back from injury. It really goes back to me. Ever since they lost Gary Kubiak to Marcus Ware and Peyton Manning in the span of 2 years, they've never fully replaced that leadership vacuum. And offensively, I could tell you, I'm not sure they've ever replaced it. When you look at the personality of the offense, who would you say is the guy that when practice is going a little sideways, is going to kind of grab guys by the nape of the neck and say, let's go. You know, let's go. Not fake hustle, not eyewash, but hey, let's go. Let's step to step. I don't know who that would be. I think Sutton could do it when he's healthy and right, but it should come from your quarterback, and Drew and Teddy have those characteristics, but how can you be the guy when you don't even know you're the starter?
Right.
That's why I don't like these quarterback competitions. And I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying that when you've had four straight losing seasons for the first time since 1963 to 72, that when you're telling me it's okay that no energy in the first day of pads, yeah, it's okay if you're the Patriots,
right,
or the Bucks or the Saints, or a team that's traditionally in the playoffs. The Broncos have been in the conversation with the Bengals, the Jets, the Cardinals, and Lions the last 4 years. That's why my concern was like, I thought I was going to see a little bit of pushing and shoving, not fight. I'm not asking for UFC jump into the octagon. Just a little bit of, hey, you know, let's get after it here today.
It's football.
Nice. Today was a little more of that, but it was still very workmanlike.
Yes. Troy, has Vic been asked about that? Has he addressed it at all? Has that been a question that has been asked of Vic at all, just about how, you know, reserved the last couple of days have been?
Yeah, well, full transparency, it was not asked yesterday, and I was in that group, so that's on me. We get caught off to the side doing stuff with other players, so it gets a little different this year. So
sure,
a coach could be talking, and they bring other players over that you need for a story. so you slide out of the main presser to the side. But no excuse. I should have asked it yesterday. Today, I had 3OA status today because when they bring in national people, I think SiriusXM Radio was here today, and I know Peter King was, they have to remove some local spots. So I did not have 2M status today, so I was not in the press conference. We had a photographer there. We have a representative, but I wasn't there.
Sure.
Because that was on my list. Because I just, like, you saw, Tyler saw, pretty much every ex-player I talked to saw, it was just like, that did not look like a first batted practice. I'm not saying it's completely wrong. I'm just saying I expected something different. And if I do see some of that on Wednesday in Minnesota, yeah, the alarm bells will be going off. Like,
right.
What are we doing here? This is a team that's 0-7 in September the last two seasons. That's why I thought, hey, we might see a little bit of urgency here. And what? They keep talking about it, but you, I don't want you to talk about it. Be about it.
No, you're exactly right. Are you going to Minnesota, Troy?
I will be there. Yes.
Okay, awesome.
I will be at those
That's
practices.
Great. Yep. All right, perfect.
Well, we hope to use you as a resource when you're out there and just to have your boots on the ground there. Troy Rank, Denver 7 Broncos insider. Who did you have winning the day, Teddy or Drew?
I gave it slightly to Teddy. They're very even throughout. Both had strong moments. Drew had a great back shoulder throw. But Teddy, for me, essentially they're even. Teddy had a 50-yard scoring strike to Noah Fant. He was wide open, but this is how this competition kind of gets graded. And if you're even, the guy that had the big wow throw, Drew has won game, you know, days because of a throw like that. I give it to Teddy. But it just left a sour taste for both of them to fail on that. You know, again, they were trailing by 7. That was the drill, 2-minute drill. And they both looked great getting down there and just threw inexplicable picks. Drew got caught in between trying to run and pass and threw a ball right to Justin Simmons. And then Teddy misread a sluggo route. And Brandon talked about this. Part of this is chemistry issue because you think a guy's going one way. Teddy should have waited a little longer. He felt a little pressure. But you can't just throw it up like that. I mean, that's a bad pick. But I had, to answer your question, Teddy with the slight win. So I have him 3 wins. Drew with 2, and I know you guys don't do it, and I have 2 draws because I'm a huge fan of Ted Lasso.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
I still have yet to check that out.
That's a must watch, Troy.
I know nothing about soccer, but that is a brilliant show.
Gotcha.
It is really well done. I'm not a soccer guy by any stretch. That is a brilliant show. And his team is on 8 draws going leading into this weekend's episode. 8 straight draws.
You got to love the draws in soccer. Just got to love that. Troy Rank joining us. Troy, last one for me. What are you looking forward to seeing in Minnesota when you go out there and they practice a couple times against the Vikings? Obviously, it's different going up against something different now. It's not going to be scripted. You're not going to see what these defenses are running. So what are you looking forward to seeing there in those 2 days?
Well, first I'm going to Canton, and because I'm the same size as you, Stoke, I'm going to pretend to be you and get in on that open bar action with Peyton. That was such a great interview. Haven't heard that, you need to go back and listen to that Peyton Manning interview with Brandon and Zach. I am looking forward to physical play up front, O-line, D-line, to see some of that. I mean, I remember when J.J. Watt was here with the Texans in one-on-one drills, you know, just going crushing guys, telling them not to be mad that he was embarrassing. I want to see some of that.
Yeah.
I want to see some of that intensity, you know, kind of some of that pent-up frustration that I thought we were frankly going to see the last couple of days, certainly on the first day. I want to see if this running game is as good as I believe it can be, because that is going to be the anchor of their offense. If you don't believe that now, I don't know what else I could tell you. They can't decide on a quarterback. And if you go and watch these practices, it's very clear that they are going to use the run game to take the pressure off these quarterbacks. I want to see that. And is this defense what we think it is? This has a chance to be a special defense, but it can't be special without takeaways. So when we see a few picks where you go, okay, this is how they're going to win early, and maybe the offense continues to evolve, but Simmons, I think, can be all-pro, first team, you know, best player on this team. So I want to just start seeing some hints of that. You asked me one takeaway from practice. I was remiss in not mentioning that Cortland Sutton, that's the best practice I've seen him have so far. He's definitely starting to get over some of the mental hurdles of the injury and looks like he is pushing forward, and there should be no reason he's not healthy on September 12th and, you know, ready to go and produce.
Troy, it's always fun catching up, man, and we'll check in with you next week from Minnesota. Really looking forward to this next phase of training camp. Have a great rest of your week.
All right, guys, take care. Have a great show.
Thanks,
right.
Troy.
That was Troy Rank, courtesy of Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. The one and the only James Merrillat from DenverFan.com is with us on KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. Holla at your boy.
Today's
Holla
my boy. Day. You should have just gave that to me. That would have been a good partner thing to do. You know, all that I've done today for you and for this show and for this city.
That would have been an olive branch.
Stokely, hey, it's your day. You go ahead and take this, but you had to be selfish.
So tempted to pull a Stokely and turn on my mic about 20 seconds early and just throw it out there.
You didn't even know I was here.
Just throw it out there.
You are a guest. You can't come in someone else's house and make up rules.
True. That's putting your feet on the coffee table.
I would self-report us to the SEC.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brandon Stokely was wearing me out.
Did you hear the Peyton Manning interview?
I did.
Thoughts?
Very good. It was really interesting. I was talking to Stoke out in the hallway. When you guys came back and we're talking about the advice that he would have had for the quarterbacks that are having to share reps and sort of like, you know, don't try and make them all hero ball. Just show that you can go out there and make good decisions and take care of the football in the red zone. That was my big takeaway from it, too, because I was about ready to hit post on the story that I wrote for DenverFan.com on the same thing, because I think he makes a really good point on any day. But then today, where we saw both quarterbacks do exactly what he said they shouldn't be doing and trying to make something happen and or making bad throws in the red zone, I thought it was really good advice. I thought Drew Lock, look, he probably got sacked on the play anyway, and then he scrambles up and tries to make a throw. If he just throws that away and throws it out the back of the end zone or just, you know, keeps running it, we all just talk about the sack. The fact that it got picked by Justin Simmons makes it something we're all going to harp on because it's Drew being Drew, right?
That's what he does, right, Jay? I mean, that's the problem with that's the main issue he had last year is making a bad play worse.
That whole series reminded me so much of the end of the first half in Vegas, right?
Yep.
Where he puts together this really good drive.
Awesome drive.
He throws a touchdown, it gets called back, and then he throws a pick at the goal line. So instead of 10-9 or up 13-10, it's still 10-6. Then the Broncos defense couldn't get the Raiders off the field in the third quarter. And next time you look up, it's the Broncos are down 3 scores. And it's like, man, it all turned on that play, that blunder. And then it turned into a game where he had, you know, 4 picks by the end of the day. It reminded me a lot of that because he did a ton of really good things on that drive. Remember, he had taken a big shot. And he kind of shook it off, and he's going out there.
Yes.
And a guy came in and unblocked and just drilled him. But then
it was Arden Key.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And then after that, he still let him right down the field and made some throws.
They had a touchdown called back.
Yeah.
On a holding call by Noah Fant. So they had scored right before it, too.
Yeah, look at that memory on you guys.
Right before they scored and got it called back and then interception next play or the play after.
So on that series, if you went back and, you know, graded the film, he probably did 12 things really well, right? Like he was like, man, that guy can do it. That's big time NFL football. But he had the one mistake, and it was a colossal mistake, right? It's the kind of thing Pat Shermer's been talking about of you can't do. That was sort of what he did today. Now, there is an asterisk by it because, you know, he probably had been sacked and who knows what's going on at that point. But you still can't do it. And then I thought, and this is why he lost the day to me, Teddy Bridgewater's error down there. If Teddy's going to get the job, it's because he's safe. So when he does things that are unsafe, that's a huge, huge negative for his day. And that interception at the goal line on just a bad throw, bad read, whatever you want to call it, is something he can't do. Because if you're going to have those kind of mistakes, you might as well have it be Drew because he's got the upside.
Right. If you're going to be checked down, you know, Bridgewater, then – you know what? You can't make those mistakes.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you're going to be conservative, which is opposite of Drew, you can't also do those negative things that he does. And there's a little misconception out there that Teddy's just so safe with the football. He turned it over a lot last year.
Yeah.
Right? Fumbles and picks. So, you know, he can't do that in this situation. But my question, James, is I said going into this thing, right, you know, Drew is going to have to really outplay Teddy to get rid of the negative plays of last year, to get rid of that stigma, to get rid of that bad taste in the coach's, you know, mouth there when they're looking at, you know, what cost us last year. It was Drew just doing, you know, things that just drove us crazy, right? They haven't forgotten about that. And guess what? We saw it again today.
We did.
So, my question is, you know,
he can't continue to do these things. They might be little things, you know, but just like those little mistakes, now all of a sudden, guess what happens? Now he's going to need three good days to kind of,
right,
you know, make that coach right, just forget about that right thing. Like, he can't do that at all.
Well, and Vic Fangio told us that earlier in camp, right? It's the clip we all play that's got the bleep in it when he's talking about, you know, how many good plays, how many wild plays do you have to erase a bleep play? And he, I don't know. That tells you all you need to know. The number's really high because he puts a lot of emphasis on those bleep plays, and he's essentially telling us you can't do enough to erase them, right? And I think those are the things that Drew Locke does, especially when you have a defensive-minded coach who wants to win game 17-13. Those kind of mistakes are just going to be, you know, having the spotlight on them. But I kind of look at it differently, Stoke. Like, I look at it, if it's a tie, why would you not go with the guy who has the potential to be the long-term answer? If it's a tie, like if Bridgewater is significantly better or even just better, then yeah, you're trying to win football games this year.
Because these coaches aren't worried about long-term
future.
That's
right.
These coaches are worried about winning enough games right now. So if it's a tie, they're going to go with the more conservative guy, the guy that's, you know, they, you know, trust a little bit more. And I think if you talk about trust, which one would they trust more? It's the one that they haven't seen, the one that hasn't hurt them, hasn't scorned them, hasn't lost them football games before, and that's Teddy.
I get what you're saying, but to me then that's just another example of the dysfunction of this organization and the way it's set up, where you have a coach on the hot seat and a GM who's in year one of a 6-year deal, right? So they're not on the same page. Because the smart thing to do from an organizational standpoint, if it's tied, is to go with the younger player.
Of course.
The guy with the upside. So,
but they're not going to do that in this situation.
So that's
James,
dysfunction.
It's not ideal. Just like a quarterback competition isn't ideal, it's not ideal to hire a general manager and have a coach that's been around that's on the hot seat. Of course it's not.
So they're not going to do, if that's what it ends up, if it's a tie, they're not going to do what we all think would be the smart thing. To me, that is the definition of dysfunction.
No.
They're not going to do the smart thing.
James,
like,
they're going to do whatever is possible to save their rear ends.
I was
going to
say
this year. That's it.
The smart thing is totally up for interpretation, because the guy who is ultimately going to make the decision, I don't have to tell you, has never won a game in September as the Broncos head coach.
Correct.
So the smart thing for him may be different than the smart thing for George Payton. You know, because if you're Payton,
sure,
you have more of the eagle eye view of what's best for this organization long term. And playing that guy could get Vic fired. Teddy can get Vic fired too, by the way. But I think there's maybe from his old school football wiring is like, I'm going to play the guy that's played in 60 football games instead of 21 or whatever it is.
Teddy can get Vic fired quicker. If he goes with Teddy, in those first three games, you're at the Giants against Daniel Jones, you're at the Jaguars against a rookie quarterback, and you host the Jets and you got a rookie quarterback. If you don't go 2-1 and you decided to go with the conservative option, the quarterback who won't be the long-term answer, you decided to put the guy that could potentially be the future on the bench, and you don't go at least 2-1 in those games?
It doesn't matter.
All right.
It doesn't matter. It don't matter who you play. If you don't win, you got a good chance of being out of here quicker. What?
I agree. No, I agree with you. Okay, but I want to take a timeout on this conversation really quick, because we don't have a lot of time left together here, because I'm going to take off at 2:30. I'm going to pull Stokely. But I wanted to get to this piece of audio first.
Well, I was in the middle of something. Okay.
Man. No, I'm sorry. No.
You're throwing your hands up like you're ready, like you had some big announcement to make or
no,
something, and you just want to announce that you're going to be out of here.
No, I'm not announcing that I'm going to be out of here. I wanted to shoehorn a piece of audio in here that we had planned. I agree with
yes,
you.
Yes, perfect. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's Teddy or Drew. They both will get Vic fired really quickly if they don't work out. How about that?
If he goes Teddy, he doesn't have anybody to throw under the bus. It'll just be him.
What did you guys make of, we were all out of practice
You always
yesterday.
Got Pat Shurmur.
True.
Fair point.
But you can't do that because you handpicked him. You fired the other guy and handpicked him, so you probably can't do that either. What did you make of Pat Shurmur? I want to get the response from both of you. Stoke, I don't know if you heard the audio. The Drive had a great time with this yesterday. We were all out there at practice yesterday and saw one of the ugliest practices that we've ever seen. This was Pat Shurmur from yesterday when asked about the evaluation of the quarterbacks.
Oh. You got to be a little bit careful when you're doing the math on who played well and who didn't. You know, we may have a period with five plays where it's three runs of play action and a screen. We did a drill today where we were actually trying to throw incompletions to stop the clock. So you might say, holy smokes, that was a crappy throw, when no, that's what we were designed to do. So sadly for you guys, you don't have the scripts and you don't know the intention of our drills, but some of that happens.
Okay, Stoke, I'm especially curious your take on this. You have forgotten more football than I'll ever know. You played 15 years in the league. You've been a part of thousands and thousands of practices. Does what Pat Shurmur said, we had drills when we were where we were trying to throw incompletions.
Well, he said incompletions to stop the clock.
To stop the clock.
To stop the clock. So it's not like they're just trying to throw balls away. Or so if you are in certain situations, I got it. You know, hey, guess what? Rather than, you know, forcing the ball in there, we can't take a completion in the field of play because we don't have a timeout. You follow me?
Yeah.
Like there's 30 seconds. You do different situations to get ready for the season. And sometimes you might drop back and say, you know what, we got to throw an incompletion here. We got to throw this ball out of bounds. It's one guy or throw it out of bounds. So James, you're looking really confused over there.
But I
got it. I mean, they're not just going out there saying, okay, let me just practice throwing incompletions out of bounds, right? They're doing it for a reason, like he said, to stop the clock in certain situations. So, I'm not making a big deal about it.
Yeah, but we all got what they were doing, right? Like, both Teddy and Drew each had two of these. They were at two different points in practice. It was clear they weren't trying to hit the receiver and didn't miss him by, you know, 10 yards over their head. It was obvious what they were doing. I don't think there was a single media member being critical of those throws.
No.
We were maybe being critical of the fact of you picked first day in pads to run that drill. Here's the part I don't get.
What do you think about that, Stoke? Real quick, doing that the first day in pads. Is there some criticism that should be levied there?
I mean, there was a lot of criticism on the structure of practice, the intensity of practice. So put that on. You can throw that as a cherry on top. How about that? The whole thing stunk. Stunk also. Pick another day to do it. Walk through day. How about that? The whole practice structure it stinks.
Here's the part of it I don't understand. If you need to throw an incompletion to stop the clock, Stoke, don't you just take the snap and spike the ball if you're trying to stop the clock? They were more like the plays that they ran at the end of the Jets game, where they nearly got Brett Rypien killed.
Right.
Where they were trying to
get that figured out this year. Don't get their quarterback killed.
They were throwing an incompletion.
That's why they did it.
Burn time.
Right.
Because they were launching it like 50 yards downfield. That's not to stop the clock.
Right.
That's trying to run out the clock while throwing an incompletion. So, to some extent, he was being critical of us not knowing the script. And then he didn't even know what the hell he was talking about. Because they weren't trying to stop the clock.
Like, we got it, Pat. Thank you. You know, he's trying to talk down to us a little bit. Hey, guys, y'all don't know what y'all are looking at. We had the script. So, you know, sometimes y'all being critical. But you know what? Y'all are wrong. Because, you know, actually, we were throwing incompletions on purpose right there. Okay, we got it. And we saw y'all try to do that last year. How did that work out for y'all? How did it, like you said, Zach, I mean, it almost got Brett Rypien killed, not once but twice. So, perfect. Guess what? You need to practice it. Practice it some more. Those are important plays, obviously, because they can be the difference between winning and losing a football game. But don't talk to us like, you know, we don't know what we're looking out there.
I've been watching this team for 40 years. Other than that game against the Jets last year, I don't remember them ever having to run out the clock by just chucking the ball as far as they could. You got to prepare for every situation. I get it. But I think everybody left that game going, man, that was a disaster. Garrett Bowles is nearly getting in a fight.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio's having to pull him away. You would have thought the takeaway would have been, okay, we need a better plan for running out the clock. Nope. We just need to practice that same plan. Well, they still think that was a good idea.
Well, the funniest part about it was that after it didn't work and you almost got your quarterback killed on live television, you ran the play again.
Yeah, we got to try it again.
Run it back. Run it back.
Crazy.
Wait, what are we doing?
Crazy.
All right. I just wanted to get that in here.
That was good.
We have not awarded the winner of the day yet. Myself, Stokely, James Merrillat. It can't have a tie here because there's three of us. We'll get to it next.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.